Well, good morning. My name is Tavis Beer, and it's great to see you here this morning on Mother's Day. And I just wanted to shout out to my mother-in-law, who I admire, who's dealing with Parkinson's at the moment, and I admire her perseverance. And also, I just love thinking about my Nana, who once owned a milk bar. And even long after retiring, she still treated her grandkids by always having like a heap of chocolate bars, you know, just choose which one, you know. It was like coming into a shop. So that's awesome. All right, let's pray as we look into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. And we thank you that you've given your word, not just so that we know what's going on, but that you want a relationship with us, that you seek us out. So through your Spirit, help us to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there are different seasons in our lives when we might feel distant from God, far off from God. And I'm not talking about physical distance, but relational distance. God is there, we know it, but we might feel out of touch with God. In those times, we might try speaking with God, but we don't feel like any answer that God's giving is satisfying. We might be angry with God about something. We might feel helpless or lack of control over our situation, and it feels like God is not delivering for us. And so we might start to interpret God's silence. We might start to interpret God's stillness. We might start to interpret God's delay as a sign that he does not care. In any relationship, we scan for evidence of mutual affection. We look for signs of love, for signs of presence, for signs of pursuit from the other person. And often what we think is a void in what we think is absence. When our relationship with God, we see God maybe as distant and uninterested at best and unloving at worst when we feel like he is silent. And this leads us to a place of dryness, perhaps a place of doubt, and maybe a place of disconnection in our relationship with God. In last year's discipleship survey, while many in our congregation described their relationship with God as close, there are also some in our congregation who described their relationship with God as distant. Today, we're continuing our series, which explores David's Psalms that arose from events in his life. Last week, Liz helped us look at Psalm 57, when David was running from King Saul and hiding in a cave. And that was a song of protection. So now we move forward in David's story when he's older and had been king for a long time, and when David was in a season when he must have been tempted to feel far from God, feel distant from God. Our reading from 2 Samuel 15 picks up the story when David and Bathsheba's son Absalom usurps the throne and betrays his father David, seizing control of Jerusalem. And so we get this picture of David and his whole entourage fleeing the city. It's a significant moment. Of course, it doesn't happen out of nowhere. For those familiar with the longer story, we're to read David's exile as God's delayed justice on David for his dealing with Bathsheba and Uriah. Absalom's situation was also shaped by the wrongdoing of Amnon, who did a great injustice to Absalom's sister Tamar. So Absalom took justice into his own hands and he arranged to kill his own half-brother. But instead of bringing justice on his son Absalom, David deals with it by exiling Absalom. But over time and through deceit, Absalom was allowed back. He wins the support of the people with his charisma. So long story short, David didn't deal with significant wrongdoing in his family, and this is finally catching up with him. But in our story today, David has every reason to feel distant from God. He's suffering God's justice. He's enduring the trauma of losing his home and his throne. Even David's best counselor betrays him and goes over to Absalom. He's been cut off from the ark of God, the place of worship, and God's special presence. And he's headed for the wilderness full of sorrow and shame. And so this picture is of David weeping as he's looking back at Jerusalem. And so what we discover in Psalm 3 then, I think, is surprising. We might expect David to respond with anger, with bitterness, perhaps write a song of complaint to God, or even just no song at all. Like Job, he could have listened to the voices around him, urging him to curse God and give up. But instead, David chooses to sing. And what he sings is a song of trust. David expresses confidence and trust in God despite his circumstances. Verse 1, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I'll not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. And then verse 8, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. So notice here the picture of God that David's singing about. Despite God not delivering him, David still holds on. He still calls God his protector. He still calls God his defender. He still calls God his sustainer. And David still calls God his deliverer. So David may feel sad, he may feel distant, he may feel lots of feelings of unworthiness, but he keeps trusting God. He keeps praying to God. He keeps hoping in God, who is still the source of his deliverance. So you can see, this is a good psalm to sing when life is hard, when we're in need of saving, and when we're tempted to feel like God is abandoning us. I noticed that David's other psalms, where he feels far from God, David still continues to express trust. Psalm 13, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Well, Psalm 38, Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Saviour. So what's common in the Psalms, and you find again and again, is this pattern that goes something like this. Even though I'm enduring this hard season, yet I will trust in my God to save. So this pattern models for us what a faithful response to God looks like, even in a hard season. It's a song that doesn't deny the reality and experience, but at the same time, it's expressing our confidence in God to save. Now, I want to briefly explore this question for us, which is, what can I do when I feel far from God? What can we do when we feel far from God? Well, firstly, we have a good example from Psalm 3, which is to bring our lament to God and express our trust. I found it really helpful over the years to pray using a psalm as inspiration. Within the words and the ideas and the pictures that we find and the flow, it's good to be able to pray and pour out our emotion to God through the psalm. And you can tell God that you feel overwhelmed, you feel distant, you feel forgotten. But then you can express your trust based on your picture of God that you find in Scripture and also what God has done in your past. It's good to lament. Even Jesus lamented and brought his complaint to God. On the cross, he quotes Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. So lamenting when you feel that God is so far from saving you is a good thing to do. That's the first thing. The second thing is to be reminded that God is still working even when you feel there's silence. David must have felt that God was silent to his prayers for deliverance. Like, God, the time for helping me was before I got kicked out, before I went into exile. So it would have been easy for him to interpret the silence as God turning his back on him and no longer interested in helping him. But silence is not the same as absence. And it's certainly not the same as inaction. Throughout Scripture, we see a different picture. We see a God who is always at work, often behind the scenes, often in ways we don't immediately understand. A classic case is Joseph in Genesis. He was betrayed by his brothers, thrown into prison, forgotten by those he helped. Yet through it all, God was weaving a greater story, one that would save many lives. We'll take the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. Their lives were characterized not by ease, not by long stretches of wait, but by long stretches of waiting, wandering, and enduring. And God was working with them and through them through that time. And James reminds us that trials aren't wasted. He says, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So it's important to understand that God's silence does not mean inaction. It doesn't mean he's absent. And often God uses silence not to punish us, but to shape us and to do what he's doing in the grand scheme of things. So that's the second thing. Express your confidence in God. And then be reminded that God's still working even when there's silence. And thirdly, draw near to God. Seek intimacy with God. So use the situation that you're going through as a time to pursue God. You see, in times when you feel far off, these are the times when you will feel most tempted to abandon God. And like in any human relationship, when there's distance, then this can lead sometimes to acting like then, oh well, there's no accountability. And it also can lead to less motivation to do things for the other person. But God is giving us in these times a choice. We have a free choice in this. We can choose to drift into apathy or lukewarm faith and not spend time with God, or we could pursue God. We think back on those times when it felt that God might answer our heart. Maybe we've had a healing, a word spoken at the right time. Maybe the right person appeared. And then our whole situation changed and we're praising God. You know, like we feel like God is there, he has our back. But then maybe the situation changes and overnight from being healthy to sick, from having good friends to having friends in conflict. from talking to silence. And then we might feel like God, maybe he's not there. But what I want to say clearly this morning is that this is not the case. God is still no further away now than when he felt close in the good times. In seasons when God feels distant, it's as if our faith is walking through a wilderness. But even there, God invites us to lean in, to press closer, just as David did. James writes, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." And these were words spoken to people in the midst of trial and temptation. So now is not the time to retreat. It's the time to reach out to God. Because intimacy with God is not found by accident. It's pursued. Like a traveller seeking water in a desert. Like a child searching for their parent in a crowded shopping centre. Like a tax accountant looking for a deduction. Like a preacher looking for their third point. You get the idea, but you know, like, draw near to God. It's your choice to do, but do it, and he will draw near to you. We can do that because of Jesus, you see. Jesus came to bridge the gap between us and God, to secure our eternal deliverance and bring us into intimacy with the Father through his Spirit. Through the cross, sin's power is broken, and those who are far off are brought near. And the good thing is that union with Christ isn't just for that final day where we'll feast at that table. It begins now as we walk with Jesus in his Spirit. And because of this, you know, we can expect to hear from God. So some of you might be saying, well, how can we do that? And I was speaking to someone recently from our congregation who benefit immensely from the Lectio prayer course that we run recently. And it's a course that encourages you to approach Scripture in a way that you meditate on it and pray over it. And one of the key takeaways from this course is that we shift our approach to reading the Bible simply from seeking information to that of reading with the expectation that we're listening and hearing God's voice. And even just that, what looks like a very small change, makes a huge difference. It can open our ears to hear him, not only in that big, dramatic answers to prayer, but also in the quiet, in the everyday moments as we engage with Scripture. So what do we do if we feel far from God? Well, three things. I encourage you to express your confidence in God through lament, to be reminded that God is still working even when you feel it's silent, and thirdly, to draw near to God and to seek intimacy with him. So my encouragement is, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, that just keep persevering and keep choosing to draw near to God in your life. And so if you feel prompted this morning, I encourage you to come up after the service to receive prayer, maybe in this. I also encourage you, we have a ministry called Discipleship by Appointment, which is a great place for those in the church to have a one-on-one conversation about what can we do, what can I do in my life to grow closer to God. So I'm going to end now. I love John, the song we sang out before, It Is Well, and I just thought, just end that, our time, with some of those words. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, it is well. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The wind and waves still know his name.